This past week saw a continuation of the investigation to the George Washington Bridge lane closure scandal by a special legislative committee. This digging for details is actually running counter to the governor's claim that it's a closed issue, or as you called it, a footnote that he's moving on from. Here to discuss the focus of the most recent legislative hearings and testimony, a State House Bureau reporter for the Asbury Park Press, as well as co-author of the book, Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power, Michael Simons. Good morning, Mike.
Morning. How are you?
Great to have you here. blogs.app.com/CapitalQuickies as we can keep on top of Michael and the other fine journalists' work at the Asbury Park Press. So give us a little review. As who was the star witness, and what was the mission of the committee this week?
This past week was essentially a whole day of testimony from Michael Druniak. Mike has been the press secretary for the governor for his entire term in Trenton. He was also press secretary for Christie when he was U.S. attorney from 2002 through 2008. Mike had gotten to the U.S. attorney's office before Christie did, which was one of the points he made to the legislature the other day. Lawmakers, basically, like they were with Christina Renna the week before, are trying to kind of put together a timeline and sort of verify facts or claims or
and sort of dust everything for fingerprints to see who had their hands on what when.
Yeah, and you know it's kind of a complicated timeline. You know, I know that the governor said afterwards not a lot, or I think nothing new came out of that you couldn't have known if you read the internal report that his office commissioned from the lawyers from Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. But there's a lot in that report. You know, the report itself is long, and there's 430 pages of supplemental material, so it's a pretty safe bet that most people haven't consumed the entire thing and committed it to memory, even as Mike Druniak was testifying the other day. There were reporters looking at each other and saying, so is that new? Is that the timeline that they had said in that report? Specifically, one of the questions that folks were trying to nail down and lawmakers kept circling back to this and other issues was when it was during the fall that David Wildstein, the fellow at the Port Authority who apparently may have essentially coordinated the lane closures, when it was that he started telling Mike Druniak, look, this was a traffic study. I talked to people in around Christie about it. Bridget Ann Kelly knew. Bill Stepien knew. When did Wildstein start making those claims to Mike Druniak, and when did Druniak tell folks like Charlie McKenna, who was the chief counsel to the governor, and then, you know, what did McKenna do with it? Did Druniak basically pursue it to the length that you would normally pursue a claim like that, or did it seem like he wasn't taking it very seriously? That seemed to be a lot of what they were talking about.
This whole thing with David Wildstein, too, he's sort of, I'm not making this in, you know, sort of any sexual connotation here, but David Wildstein to Chris Christie is almost like Golan Sapel was to James McGreevy. No one knew who this guy was. No one wants to take responsibility for what he did. No one really knew why he was there to begin with.
Right. And the governor has been, has repeated from the start that hiring Wildstein at the Port Authority wasn't his idea, that was an idea that Bill Baroni had. Christie selected Baroni, former state senator, actually plucked him out of the state senate to make him the deputy director at the Port Authority, which is the highest staff position that New Jersey gets to appoint. And the story is that it was Baroni's idea to put in David Wildstein there.
In a creative position, by the way, because after Wildstein bailed out the position, he was never replaced. The position he had was eliminated.
Right, yeah. I mean, essentially the job was sort of, right-hand man, top assistant to the deputy director. They came up with a sort of convoluted title that was director of interstate projects or whatever. But as you say, it didn't exist before Wildstein got there, and it no longer exists now.
Talking with Michael Simons from the Asbury Park Press. He's also co-author of Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power, blogs.app.com/CapitalQuickies. On the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So what the governor said about this is just rehashing, or basically people coming before the committee and paraphrasing, or maybe even directly reading off of the master report. Is the governor trying to push this aside? Does he? Do you think he really thinks this is all about nothing? What's your sense of how Christie is treating all of this?
Well, certainly he's eager to put it in the rear view.
I mean, because he says no at these town hall meetings, nobody's talking about this. But if you check out the various polls, Public Mind and other state polls, there are more people who say they have somewhat or a lot of interest in the bridge gates, more so than they've said they have interest in a political campaign 3 days before Election Day.
Sure. A lot of people are following it. And I suppose because it's the kind of thing that is easy to relate to, you know, traffic problems, moving cones, the personalities involved, I think people are following this more than they would say, you know, questions about campaign finance rules and whether contributions are legal. That sort of stuff is at a level that isn't at people's gut, but this is very much something that people can relate to. And so for that reason, among others, including the governor's political celebrity and the possibility of him running for president one day, it's not going to go away. He was in Washington this past week after the hearing for an appearance at a fiscal summit, and President Clinton spoke before him, members of Congress were speaking, and during his, Bob Schieffer from CBS News was sort of interviewing him, moderating that, and he was asking him about the George Washington Bridge stuff. So I'm sure that when Christie goes to Washington, he would rather be talking about things other than trying to convince people that this bridge story doesn't end 2016. As he tried to say, this is going to be a footnote in the end. I had nothing to do with it. So part of that ability to put it in the past is his need to be able to point to the Gibson-Dunn report as being authoritative. And so it doesn't help when Christina Renna, when she made her testimony, said, well, it has some errors in it. And she pointed out one, I think promised to point out others in a letter from her lawyer. Later in the week, the lawyer for Bill Stepien, Christie's former campaign manager, publicly released a letter that he had sent to the Gibson-Dunn lawyers in April saying, you know, this has a couple of significant errors. They said one error of fact, one error of law that they wanted corrected. Journiak said that he thought that the summary of his interview was accurate. So now you've had two people complaining that it's inaccurate, one person saying that it is. For Christie to be able to lean on that, he needs people to see it as accurate. There were already polls saying that a lot of people see it as a whitewash, as politically self-serving. So if that takes hold, that people don't believe the report, then he doesn't have that to lean on.
A lot of people are saying that even if, let's just assume that the Mastro report, everything is true, and the fingerprints are on the peripheral, not on the center of the Camp Christie and his office, and certainly through your writing with Chris Christie, the inside story of his rise to power, does this demonstrate that you can question Christie's leadership ability with the people he picks, the people he chooses to associate with, and the people he chooses to, for lack of a better word, ride the coattails?
Right. That becomes part of the political problem for him, even if nobody can ever show that he had any knowledge of this. Let's say that that's how it turns out. People can still say, well, you created an atmosphere where this was, where people thought that this would be permittable. And when it happened, and this is one of the points that Loretta Weinberg, the Senate Majority Leader and the co-chair of the Investigative Committee, makes often, is that there was a lack of curiosity, as she puts it, to trying to figure out what really did happen. When people were saying to staffers in September or October, you know, yeah, Bridget Kelly knew about this, it didn't seem like much more was done to prove whether that was true other than checking with the folks at the Port Authority, Bill Baroni and David Wildstein, who both said, nah, don't worry about it. You have nothing to worry about. And that was another point that was returned to frequently when Mike Journiak was testifying, was that basically, the timetable for when David Wildstein was forced to resign, the resignation announcement was made on a Friday, December the 6th. On that Wednesday, the 4th, Journiak and Wildstein met for dinner. And at that point, the people in the governor's office knew Wildstein was going to be forced out, and David Wildstein was still trying to sort of tell this story about the traffic study being legit, and Druniak kind of heard him out. And the other thing that Wildstein said to him is that in addition to Stepien and Kelly knowing that that he had told Governor Christie about the traffic study when he saw him at a 9/11 memorial event during the lane closures. And Mike Druniak on the 5th, the Thursday in between the dinner and the resignation, said to the governor, by the way, he claims that he told you about it. And Christie said, you know, I'm supposed to remember something about a traffic study that he randomly mentions. It wouldn't have meant anything to me. On the part about Stepien and Kelly, he said, according to Druniak, I always wondered if Stepien was telling me everything he knew about it. And to the Democrats, okay, you wondered if your campaign manager was telling you everything he knew, but you didn't do very much to pursue it, and you still were going to nominate him to be the state party chairman. So it gets to that point that you were raising. At a minimum, it allows people to question his decisions and leadership.
And as they say in the TV shows, to be continued, with a lot more still to come. Follow along on the continued evolution of the story. Masbury Park Press, one of the go-to sources for everything that's happening, and the inside stuff too, blogs.app.com/Capitol Quickies. And get the lowdown on the current governor of New Jersey. Michael is the co-author of Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power. It's always a good way to find out who someone is by finding out about the path that they travel to get where they are today. And that's one of the things you get out of Michael's book, Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power. Michael Simons, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks, Chris.